You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Chris Molina. Coming up, we tend to take it for granted, but refrigeration has shaped human history and culture in profound ways.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled in favor of a Marquette professor suspended after a controversial blog post. A Minnesota judge recommended against a proposed natural gas plant in Superior, and Attorney General Brad Schimel says he doesn't want to get Wisconsin involved in a lawsuit against opioid makers.
Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the Supreme Court ruling today that John McAdams, a political science professor at Marquette, was improperly suspended by the university for a blog post that he had made some years ago. Supporters are calling this a victory for academic freedom. Can you give us the background of the case here?
Sure. So McAdams was a political science professor. He was also a conservative blogger. And part of, you know, academic freedom is an important value of many universities, and the idea is that academics need the ability to say what they think and, you know, express what their research finds without being worried about sanction if it makes someone uncomfortable or whatever. So this is the sort of the principle, and whereas these things often do, it becomes more complicated is when you start to look at the actual specifics of the case. So he had written this a conservative student's complaint about his philosophy instructor, who was a graduate student, and said that the instructor wouldn't allow him to or students to discuss their opposition to gay marriage in class. The student had secretly, like, made a recording of that conversation, and so McAdams posted that recording. He named the graduate student. It blew up into a thing, you know. In conservative circles, it was a viral post, and as a result, the graduate student got a bunch of responses. She said she got death threats as a result, and so the suspension, from Marquette's point of view, was about his behavior toward that graduate student, as opposed to his views on the issue as such. But today the Supreme Court said nope. He was entitled to post what he wanted to post on his blog.
So McAdams' attorneys at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty made the case sort of about terms of his employment rather than his viewpoints. And it sounds like Marquette wasn't too happy with this ruling.
Yeah, well, I mean, right. So this is Marquette's point of view, is that this was because he kind of like acted like a jerk toward this student. And I think, you know, there's nothing that we can all agree on anymore, I suppose, but it seems like we should all be able to agree that he kind of acted like a jerk toward this graduate student. He was given the opportunity to write a private apology and get his job back, and he declined to do that. I think that you can say maybe he should have known or foreseen that there could be this blowback from making this post. But from his point of view, this is his expression. He was using his First Amendment rights within the terms of his contract to express his views on this blog, and so this is the finding, is that he never should have been suspended for it.
And the court came down with what I believe was a 4-2 ruling, with more conservative justices ruling in favor of McAdams, but the two liberal justices on the court dissenting. What did those justices have to say?
Well, you know, it's sort of interesting. A big part of the dissent focused on the fact that Marquette is a private university. And so it kind of makes sense that a private institution would have more latitude to limit speech than a public university might, though in this case that was not the winning argument. But it's interesting that there were some groups that were maybe traditionally more conservative groups who weighed in on the side of the university, saying that, look, this is a private institution, they can regulate it how they want. The winning argument in this case from the Wisconsin Institute for Liberty, Law and Liberty, was that, they could regulate, as a private entity, they could regulate his speech if they wanted to, but he was under the terms of his existing contract that he had, said that he had all, he had the freedom to say what he wanted and it wouldn't be interfered with.
We're talking right now with Rob Menser. He is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And we're talking about some of the top news stories in Wisconsin this week. And I want to move on to another legal story, Rob. This is a court ruling in Minnesota, but huge impact here in Wisconsin. It has to do with a proposed $700 million natural gas power plant in Superior. What was going on here, and what was the judge weighing in on?
Yeah, this is big news for the northwest part of the state, although maybe not so well known outside of that Superior area, or at least not so well known to me. But this is an interesting story that came down this earlier this week when a municipal judge ruled on an administrative proceeding, making the recommendation that. That the Minnesota Public Service Commission should not allow this partnership of Minnesota Power and the Wisconsin company Dairyland Power to build this giant facility. This judge said that they have not demonstrated that the new plant was needed and reasonable.
And the thing that was interesting about this is I tend to think of a judge's ruling as, okay, this is the word, or it goes to an appeals court, another judge takes care of it. But it sounded like the results of this were not necessarily binding, and this power plant could still happen.
Right. I mean, well, it's so complicated. I mean, there is a public utility, and so there are all these, it's heavily, heavily regulated. But yeah, this was not like a trial or even a civil lawsuit, but an administrative proceeding. So this is a non-binding recommendation. The on the Minnesota side, the regulators will take up the question of sort of permissions this fall. In Wisconsin, the forms haven't even been filed, so the Wisconsin Public Service Commission will have to, it'll go later than that, likely. But for a project this giant, $700 million facility, it's a long process to go through this, and it doesn't determine that it can't happen, but it's definitely a loss for the power companies.
And what's also interesting, kind of like the last story that we talked about, it seems like there are sort of, advocates on both sides of this. On one hand, I mean, this was going to be a plant that was going to do natural gas sort of as, a backup to renewable energy, but it was going to be in replacement of a coal plant. And it seems like there are arguments to be made on all kinds of sides here. I mean, what kind of reaction are you hearing to this so far?
Right, no, that's exactly so, and it really is interesting. Right, this is a natural gas-powered plant. It's not a coal plant, but for environmental groups, they point out that natural gas is still a fossil fuel. So the power companies argue that that building this type of plant, replacing a coal plant, makes it easier for them to transition to solar or wind energy or other renewable energies in the future. This is part of that transition. The environmental groups say, just go ahead and build the renewable energy plants. Then, if they say sort of cut out this middle, this transitional step. The argument in favor is like jobs. Also, that this type of energy is maybe preferable to coal. The argument against, and most of the environmental groups seem to come down against this.
And considering this is the legal week here on the Wisconsin News Roundup, I want to ask about one more story. Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel revealed that he is joining other states in an investigation of opioid manufacturers. But this week he says he will not join a multi-state lawsuit against those drug makers. What's his reasoning there?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, in short, right, Wisconsin is part of this investigative push, and they've subpoenaed records for these opioid manufacturers. Schimmel says that his reasoning is that that joining the lawsuit at this point would make it harder for that investigation to proceed. Earlier this year, there was a wave of, Wisconsin counties, local governments that signed on to these big lawsuits saying that arguing that opioid manufacturers either recklessly or willfully ignored evidence about how dangerous and addictive the products were. So the model for this is like big lawsuits against tobacco companies, which eventually did lead to huge payouts to states. Wisconsin still uses funds to fund smoking cessation programs. And Schimmel is not like, it sounded like his comments weren't like fully against the whole premise of this, but more like tactical, that that at this stage in the process they're trying to get these get this investigation done, and who knows, maybe some of those documents could be useful in a lawsuit in the future.
And Rob, briefly before we wrap up, I want to ask you one more thing. Why are Harley riders getting together in Prague this weekend?
Hey, why not, right? it's the Harley Festival. It's the 115th anniversary celebration is going on in Prague, and some of my colleagues from the Journal Sentinel have some fun photos and videos making me jealous of their travel. And the reason is, it turns out Prague is the site of the world's oldest Harley-Davidson Riders Club.
Huh, who knew?
It is in its 90th year.
What a celebration. Well, that's going to be something to watch for, and we'll have to leave it there. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
Rob Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He joins us each week for our state news roundup.